Welcome to Wilmot's Quant Talk. I'm Lori, and I'm here with Finn to dive into some fascinating research that's shaking up how we think about published finance studies.
Hey everyone, Finn here. Today we're tackling Robert Jarrow's provocative paper, Are Most Published Research Findings in Financial Economics False? And spoiler alert.
Right.
The answer might make you question everything you've ever read in a finance journal.
So let's set the stage. Jarrow is essentially taking John Ioannidis' famous work from Medicine, you know, the Why Most Published Research Findings Are False paper, and applying that framework to financial economics. And honestly, his starting point is pretty relatable. He says he's tried to reproduce other researchers' results using the same data sources, and it's incredibly difficult.
Oh, that hits close to home. I think we've all been there, right? You read a paper, think this looks solid, try to replicate it, and then...
Exactly, nothing works.
Nothing works. So Jarrow makes this bold assertion. You should never accept a published paper's research conclusions as valid. Never.
That's pretty strong. But his reasoning makes sense. Since all the details of an analysis are never fully provided, you should only use the results to modify your prior probability that the conclusions are correct.
Ah, so like testing whether Jensen's alpha is zero for CAPM rather than actually testing all the underlying assumptions of CAPM itself?
Exactly. You can't validate a model just by confirming its implications, because multiple models might generate the same implications with completely different cause and effect relationships.
Right. And then there's the second source, confirmation bias. This is where Jarrow gets really mathematical. He shows that if you have theta hat equals theta plus the sum of error terms, where some of those errors have positive expected values due to confirmation bias, then your estimator is systematically biased toward false positives.
And here's where it gets really interesting. He breaks down three specific sources of what he calls endogenous errors. First is data collection and filtering. Large data sets are always dirty and need cleaning, but that cleaning process can introduce bias.
Oh yeah, especially if you're subconsciously filtering out data that doesn't support your hypothesis.
Exactly. Second is computer programming. Even if you're trying your best, your code might have bugs that you never catch, especially if the results look good.
Right. And the third?
Statistical analysis itself. Most studies only provide limited diagnostic tests, usually just the obvious ones. And if results don't initially support your hypothesis, there's temptation to tweak the methodology until they do.
This really explains the replication crisis we're seeing in finance, doesn't it? All these subtle biases accumulating to create false positives that can't be reproduced.
Absolutely. And for us as quant practitioners, this has huge implications. We can't just take published results and build models on top of them. We need to be way more skeptical.
Yeah. I think the key takeaway is that if you really need to rely on a finding for something important, you need to replicate the research yourself. Only then do you know all the details and potential biases.
Unfortunately, Jarrow thinks this problem is pretty much endemic to research and can't be easily fixed. Even requirements for sharing code and data won't eliminate these unobservable biases.
Well, that's both sobering and liberating. Sobering because it means we can't trust much of what we read, but liberating because it emphasizes the importance of doing rigorous, independent research.
Exactly. And that's a wrap on today's deep dive into Jarrow's paper. Thanks for joining us on Wilmot's Quant Talk. Keep questioning everything, and we'll see you next time.